you may have your seats. Glory to God this morning. So we're going to, that is going to be able to help us to fully understand what Jesus was trying to say. And how many know that, you know, just like the first chapter of this book, it's a very hard thing that Jesus said, but you know, the words that he said, many people took directly, but you know, he brought forth a meaning behind everything he said. But the first one he said was out of John 6:59 or 6:53. We're not going to do that one today, but listen to what Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. How many know that that's a difficult saying to say? Here it is, Jesus, he's bringing forth and he's saying, you have to be part of me or else you can't be in me. But this morning, we're going to do, it's out of the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 10. Mark, if you can get that for me. Somebody get Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Anybody? Don't all raise your hand at once. John. Chapter 2, verse 10. Mark, chapter 2, verse 10. Yes, sir.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy.
Amen. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Here it is, Jesus. He said that he is speaking to the people that are there, but he's speaking also directly to the paralytic. They are there. Jesus is teaching in Capernaum. And four friends, they have their friend. He is very severely paralytic. He cannot walk. He's in a very difficult situation. Everybody is there inside the house, and there's no way for these men to bring their friend how many know that this man was in a great need? So they're looking, and as they're looking around, they see that they are carrying him, it would be very difficult for them to be able to get this friend of theirs to go inside and have any hope that Jesus would do a miracle in their lives. So what they do is they look around and say, we have to be able to get him so that he can be there around Jesus. It reminds me of the lady with the issue of blood, as I preached some time ago, that she's there. It's a very crowded situation. Many people are around, and she says, I have to find a way that even if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well. Well, that's the same mindset that these men had here in our text. They have to find a way for their friend to come to Jesus. These four friends, they heard about the miracles that Jesus was performing. Jesus was their friend's only hope. Nothing else would be able to help him. It was so packed that there was no way for them to be able to get him, for them to be able to get him to Jesus. So what they did is they took themselves to the roof. They tore a hole and they led him down close to Jesus. Go ahead and read verse 5 of that same text. Book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 5.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee."
Son, your sins are forgiven you. And how many know that, you know, many people began to say, "Who can this be? Only God can forgive sins. The religious leaders immediately began to make statements theologically. They were correct, but spiritually, they were blind. They knew what the right things to do. Only God. But see, they couldn't see the fullness of what was going on. Jesus makes this statement in verse 10, "But that you may know." Here it is, Jesus is telling them that it is no ordinary statement. What he is doing is he is making a proof. He's proving to them when Jesus said that he had the power and authority to forgive sins, he was claiming his word in authority, in God's authority. He was declaring more than a teacher or just one of the many of prophets that had come by. He was making the statement of his divinity. You know, it's so insane that even yesterday when I went to go outreach, as we were outreaching, I came across an elderly lady. And as she opened up the door, you know, the conversation, the first thing she said is, "Who is Jesus to you?" Right? Who is Jesus to you? Let me ask you that question. If somebody were to say, "Who is Jesus to you?" What would you say? Anybody? Go ahead.
My Savior.
But go ahead and try to explain to somebody who is Jesus if they asked you that question, because they're trying to, she brought it forth in a debate manner. Who is Jesus? So what would you say, more than just the Savior?
I mean, he was a actual like figure, like a historical figure on this earth.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like validity to like what actually happened. And so, like, if they want to get, you know, historical facts, like, there is that. But, like, then there's, like, the spiritual, like, what he's done in me, because I don't know all those historical things. But I do know, like, what he's done in me.
Yeah. And praise God. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead. That was good, Bea. Because you have to know what Jesus has done in you.
For one thing, we have to, as we pray and understand, for people to understand, like, he was the Son of God. He came, died for our sins, and redeemed our souls from death, hell, and the grave. He's a Savior. He's a sacrifice unto us for the salvation of our souls.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? ¿Quién más? ¿Quién es Jesús para ustedes? Go ahead. Más que el Salvador, ¿quién es Jesús para ti?
¿Qué es Jesús para mí?
Sí. ¿Quién es Jesús para ti? Más que el Salvador. More than just a savior, like Bea.
Pues eso es algo como...
It is something like...
¿Cómo lo puedo decir?
Or how can I put it?
Es como un ejemplo a seguir, pues. O sea, hacer algo...
It is no an
ser
example of how to follow.
No ser como él, pero acercarme un poquito...
Not
a ser
to
como
be
él.
Who he is, but to draw closer onto who he is.
Sí.
Amen. Anybody else? So, I gave those examples to the lady. Right? I said everything you just said. And I said, he is the son of man. And she comes and she said, yes, that's right. So she was a JW. Okay? Era testigo de Jehová. And she came and she said, how can you take and put such a title upon the Son of Man, who was not the glorious of the Father? But Jesus said, if you know my Father, then you know me, for I and the Father are one. There are three that bear witness as one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, throughout the Bible, declared himself as God. But see, we have to be able, folks, to know that when Jesus is here in our text, he's making a statement. He's calling himself the Son of Man. In other words, he's calling himself God. Go ahead and read Daniel 7, 13 and 14.
I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming down in the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed.
See, Jesus is proclaiming something, that he has authority. The same authority that God has is the same authority that he has because of the fact that he is God. Can I tell you, my son, he has a lot to be able to do because he's my son, but he cannot do the things that I do because he's a different person. Jesus is saying the dominion and authority is given because that authority is mine to be able to have. See, many of times we come to a point in our lives that when people question, see, it's easy when the situation is going good. How many know that? But when they ask you a question, how are we going to respond? Go ahead.
I mean, at one point, I think long time ago, I guess, when the first time I got, you know, like the beginning of my... When I recently got saved, you know, like I was out there being on fire to God, and I encountered this bunch of guys, you know, where I was talking to this guy, but he was mentioning all these bunch of books, you know, about, I've never heard of it because at that time I was starting to read my Bible, you know. In my head, I was just telling myself we could argue with back to back about the Bible and a bunch of books about Jesus Christ, but I kind of just told him straight up that God, Jesus did a lot of things in my life, like basically my testimony, and that's kind of how I went through that situation.
Amen. I had some very interesting people yesterday when I went outreaching. I said, oh, Jesus, I had a black Israelite. How many know what those are? Does anybody? Amen. So he's like, I believe in Jesus. I said, so what do you believe? You know, and it was just, and then I had that Jehovah's Witness, and you know, so the outreach yesterday was very interesting. But that's the way sometimes it's gonna come. And Jesus here, he's saying, I have the authority. I have the dominion. I have it because it is mine to be able to release it. See, we see that forgiveness comes before healing. You know, many of times we come and we automatically want to pray, but we don't deal with the spiritual side. We just want to deal with the physical side. And Jesus here, he comes and can you see the order of the healing of how it's going to take place? He says first, your sins are forgiven. Once the sins, which is the spiritual part, once the sins are forgiven, then the physical healing can come. Pastor Wayman Mitchell always prayed, always when he prayed for somebody, he dealt with the spiritual before he came to the physical. As they came, he would tell them, is there anything that you have not forgiven? Is there bitterness in your heart? He would lead them to a prayer, and then he would pray for healing. But before he asked them anything, it would give God glory. They would give God glory. The reason being is as we praise God for the miracle, we don't see the miracle and then praise God, because we're going to be like, did the miracle not take place? So here it is. Amen. We see that Jesus tells this man, your sins are forgiven, then the body is healed. See, spiritual affects the physical. Forgiveness heals the soul and your heart, or your being. Healing fixes your body. Jesus shows that once he healed the man's heart, now his body will be healed. See, Jesus deals with the spiritual. Jesus comes. He deals with the man's heart. After that, Jesus makes a statement for the man to rise, pick up his bed, and walk. You know, when I was barely saved, I said, man, that's a big queen size bed that they're gonna bring this man down in down the roof. I said, man, how big of a hole did they have? But we see that in those times, many of people, they slept in a mat, a blanket, whatever they laid down. So what this man did was he picked up what he had, because that was the old nature of his life. He says, you are going to have to see that that's not who you're going to be anymore. Pick it up. Take it with you. go and walk. See, this man's healed body will silence any theological argument that people had. Because how many know that when they see a miracle, they're not, they can't come in and say, by what authority did the miracle take place? The man is healed. The man that was laid there at the gate, the beautiful, amen, as he laid there, he's dancing, he's leaping, he's dancing, and he's praising God, and he's there, and they're like, what? Who healed you? See, they can't debate or deny the miracle. His healing silences all arguments. He became a living testimony about the power of Christ to be able to heal man's body. You know, I think I told you that Dennis Wright, he was an evangelist there out of Prescott. And he called me out. At that point, my back was stiff. It was hurting. I couldn't walk. Maribel, God help her, she had to basically, I couldn't, when I tried to pick myself and go into the car, I couldn't lift my legs to be able to get them up. She would have to come up and literally pick up my legs, get me up, sit there and get me, and then come back and listen, I'm no small, amen, no small person. I might look small, but, amen. I there's some weight here in this gut. And Maribel is struggling, but you know, I just went through, and that's, I thought that was just the way my life was gonna be. And then Dennis Wright calls me, and he says, "You." Not talking to me. You, the one that's looking back. Oh, he is talking to me. And he gave me the word out of Isaiah 40. One through four. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for he has received from the Lord and double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough place is smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There were some things in my life that were going on, and as he spoke these things to me, he says, God is going to heal you. That was the first time that God did. See, I was able to see legs grow out. I was able to see things happen. But how many know that when it happens to you, it's an amazing thing? And God did a miracle, because see, there were some things in my life that at that point were withholding God's miracle. But you know, I was suffering in my pain because I didn't want to deal with I wanted the physical healed, but I didn't want to deal with the spiritual. He called me up and he said, "Come here." You know, Pastor, I don't want to go up there. Just come to me. So I went, and God did a miracle. God did a miracle in my life. See, Jesus tells this man to rise. This man became a living testimony. Today, men, they want healing more than forgiveness. They come to Jesus asking for blessings, for breakthrough. But Jesus says, can I deal with your heart? Let me ask you, is there any situations that you've gone through in your life, in your time of living, that you might have a testimony similar to what I just spoke, where Jesus needed to deal with the heart first before he dealt with the body? Anybody? See, because we want the healing, but we want it more than forgiveness. And Jesus first has to deal with the heart. Anybody? Anybody has any comments? Go ahead.
I mean, there's one point when my back was hurting and a lot of things, basically. Just not really injured, but just, like, I couldn't go to sleep at one point, you know. And then one of the pastors kind of spoke to me that I think he told me that I was holding on to a lot of things and I was very private. Basically, just kind of telling me that I was very private, just let go and trust God. And at that time, I did not want to hear that word, you know. And a few days later, and just, like, that word that spoke to me, just, like, it was creeping my, basically, the word has been following me for a few days until, you know what, God, let me just let it go and just trust on you. And then these things, the pain that I was having, it would just completely disappear, you know, just like that.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, when you were, I just remembered, but it was, I think it was when I had just given birth to Junior, and my arm, it would go numb, like randomly, it would go numb at random moments. And it was kind of like, it was kind of painful. And so there was this, I think it was Pastor Frankie Chi, or evangelist, I don't know. But I went up there and I just expected, you know, oh, he was going to pray for me. That's it, you know, healing. But he was like, I really didn't expect him to say this. I don't know why I didn't even think of it, but he was like, is there someone that you have to forgive? And I was like, whoa, I was put on the spot. But it was during that time, like, Anton and I were going through a lot of marriage issues, and I had so much pain, and I was carrying all of that, you know, like, oh, I'm having this baby, and, you know, the baby's father is like, treating me like this, like, things like that. And so I was like, wow, I actually have to put this into practice and I have to forgive him. And when I forgave him, it took some time, but I forgave him and that's gone. Like, I have never had that
gone
come back.
Completely.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is actually my first time being here, but it's funny. I can give a little bit of my testimony, but I've forgiven my whole entire family, but I've been led to full healing of everything that has been happened in my life. It would take forever to tell you everything, yeah. But
the spiritual healing, the spiritual heals the physical.
True.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? ¿Quién más? Nadie más. Jesse.
I always try to tell people, because a lot of people knew who I was before, an alcoholic, a drug addict, you know. When God delivered me from that, it's hard to sit there and deny the change in my life, you know, and to tell people, like, I'm a completely different person, you know, how you deal with me, how you look at me, it's completely different. And this guy at work, he's like, well, you just traded one addiction for another. So you saying I'm addicted to Jesus? I was like,
let me be addicted to Jesus.
I'm like, thank God. I guess I am, you know, because Jesus saved me, you know. He's like, but trying to explain to him in the physical, a spiritual thing is something that he would not comprehend and understand, you know. But to tell him, sit there and tell him, like, he delivered me from that. He took that from me. And that addiction is, I've never picked it up again, you know. That's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. And I try to tell him that, but he just kind of just doesn't understand, you know, because it's like, I pray that God, you know, reveals himself to you so that you have the Spirit of God so that you can understand what I'm talking about. So.
Amen. See, will we allow God to remove the obstacles, whatever they might be, to be able to get somebody so that they can come closer to Jesus? See, these four men, they removed the obstacle that was hindering the paralytic man from being able to reach Jesus. That was the roof. The roof presented an obstacle or a hindrance that was in between Jesus and this man's miracle. Will we this morning, or will we in our lives remove the obstacles to be able to get a person to this man says that four of his friends, or the Bible says that four of his friends, these were people that knew this man's condition. Can I tell you, we know people's conditions. We know what they go through. We know the things that they suffer. We know the hindrances that are there in their lives. Will we remove? Listen, many of times what we say is, that's none of my business. That's their business. But can I tell you, somebody removed the obstacles from each and every one of our lives for us to be able to come to Jesus. And Jesus do the miracles that he has done in our lives. See, the Pharisees, all they try to tell you is what's wrong with you. See, that's all religion can do. All they can tell you is what's wrong with you. Okay, now that you tell me what's wrong, how can I fix it? Well, just... all I can tell you, it's what's wrong with you, but I can't fix it. Because religion, the Pharisees were a religious sect, the law. All they can tell you is what was wrong, but they couldn't tell you how to fix you. Could it be that we can be so close to Jesus, but still so far away? Why did Jesus forgive before the healing? Anybody, why did Jesus forgive before the healing? Because he dealt with the man's inner being, the thing that's destroying his life. How do people today react to what Jesus is trying to do? See, Jesus was there in Capernaum. He was there for the purposes. And who do we know this morning that you and I need to go to drastic measures to be able to bring them to Jesus? Could we go through drastic measures like these four men did to bring this man to Jesus? See, this morning, we learned that religion cannot heal. Goodness and works cannot heal. Only one person can. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Any questions, any comments, any concerns? Amen. God bless you. Service at 11.